Hello, and welcome to Another Moment in Creation with Diana Wedge. Today, we're discussing cotton. When God designed plants, He designed them with some amazing qualities that are very helpful to people. Cotton is one of those plants.
With such amazing properties, it's no wonder your house abounds with this downy fabric. Those power-packed puffs are almost pure cellulose. That's the durable organic compound that makes up plant cell walls. And that means that cotton is both strong and quickly replenishable. It takes about 200 days from planting to harvesting. That's pretty quick. Cotton grows in warm climates, and most of the world's cotton is grown in the U.S., Uzbekistan, the People's Republic of China, and India. A U.S. bale weighs around 500 pounds, and according to Cotton Australia, they explain that a single 500-pound bale of cotton can be stretched to produce 215 pairs of jeans, or 250 single bed sheets. You could even make 4,300 pairs of socks or 1,200 t-shirts. You could make 2,100 pairs of shorts, or you could make 680,000 cotton balls. All parts of the cotton plant are useful. The most important is the fiber or lint, which is used in making cotton cloth. Lintners, that's the short fuzz on the seed, provide cellulose for making plastics, explosives, and other products. Lintners also are incorporated into high-quality paper products and processed into batting for padded mattresses, furniture, and automobile cushions. The cotton seed is crushed in order to separate its three products: oil, meal, and hulls. Cottonseed oil is used mostly for shortening, cooking oil, and salad dressing. The meal and hulls that remain are used either separately or in combination as livestock, poultry, and fish feed, and as fertilizer. The stalks and leaves of the cotton plant are plowed under to enrich the soil. Some cottonseed also is used as high protein concentrate in baked goods and other food products. Cotton is not like leather or many other heavy types of clothing material. The loosely packed fibers in cotton make for a breathable, hypoallergenic fabric that does not make you swelter in summer. But the same fabric, when layered, serves well in wintertime, as good as any blanket because it is such a good heat preserver. You could say it's God's two-for-one clothing material. John Upchurch states in Answers Magazine that if you're not impressed yet, then soak in this. A cotton towel can soak up nearly 27 times its own weight in water. Once engorged with water, the fiber becomes even stronger. This happens because the hydrogen atoms in the water bond with the cellulose and other water molecules, making for one tough conglomeration. There is no other natural fiber quite like cotton. Having grown up in Alabama, it was a common sight to look along the interstate that runs down the spine of southern Alabama. You could even jostle over red dirt roads and pass a pecan or pecan stand or two. I often found myself pondering the fields of white tufts bursting out of dry brown plants. They are there, shimmering through the waves of August heat in rows as far as the eye can see. Here off the main thoroughfares is an unappetizing crop whose value is easily overlooked. In fact, this plant and its fruit, cotton, are woven into just about every corner of our lives. These little white tufts or bolls of cotton show how bountiful God's creation really is. You can see so for yourself. Just look at the tag on a pair of jeans, a towel, shirt, sheets, handkerchief, or pretty much any piece of clothing you own. For the most part, you'll find at least some percentage of cotton woven into the threads. You're surrounded. Upchurch continues to explain that cotton gets spun into more than just clothes and other household materials. The oil from crushed seeds makes its way into salad dressing, mayonnaise, the cake icing, which gives a whole new meaning to the phrase cotton mouth. Even the lintners are useful. Remember, those are the short little silky fuzz that clings to the cotton seeds after the boll has been stripped away. Manufacturers use them to make plastics and high-quality paper. But it's not just a modern marvel. If you dig back in history, you'll find that cotton crops up through the millennia. Not long after the flood, people as far as India, Egypt, and Mexico spun the fibers into necklaces and clothing. Megasthenes, a Greek historian who lived around the time of Alexander the Great, told a story about the trees that grow wool that he had witnessed in Southeast Asia. These kinds of stories caused some Europeans to imagine the plants had tiny sheep growing out of them. National Geographic News reflected that an ancient Mayan tomb yielded amazing fabrics. The ancient textiles found in a tomb in Central America, that's modern-day Honduras, rival modern textiles in their complexity and quality. They belonged to a Mayan queen who was buried in the 5th century AD. Textile expert Margaret Ordonez said that some of the fabrics included thread counts of more than 80 weft yarns per inch. That's a higher thread count than today's denim jeans. Other samples contained as many as 25 layers of fabric stacked on top of one another and fused together over time. Another surprise is that the cloth has lasted 1,500 years. We're talking about a humid climate, and to have fragments of fabric exist in a tomb for that long is just amazing. Ms. Ordonez added that the fabrics retained hints of glorious hues, from bright red to deep black, and they were made from such materials as cotton, grass, leaves, and tree bark. The high quality of the weaving suggests it was a very time-consuming task, though it is not entirely clear how the Maya wove the fabrics. Once again, we see modern scientists impressed and even puzzled by the technical skills of humans who lived 1,000 years ago or more. One of cotton's drawbacks was the intensive labor required to separate the cotton. But with the invention of machines that could pull the seeds from the cotton bolls, such as Eli Whitney's cotton gin in the late 1700s, production costs dropped and cotton boomed globally. Even today, about 2.5% of all the farmable land in the world is dedicated to these little white tufts, and those farms yield some 25 million tons of produce. That's one big cotton ball. When you look in your closet for cotton creations, you'll probably discover an array of colors. That's because the fibers are excellent at soaking up dyes and holding in the hues for a long time. Better still, for busy parents, cotton cleans up with relative ease after a single trip through the washer. Unlike some synthetic fibers, you won't have to take those to the dry cleaners. So while you may never have journeyed off the main road in the southern states to see these rural fields, you can rest assured that someone is still growing lots of the white puffy material that blesses pretty much every aspect of your life. Cotton shows us that God's handiwork never fails to amaze us. Let's take a few seconds to reflect on God's design for the self-protection built into plants. Researchers have long known that some plants, like cotton, corn, and tobacco, when suffering an insect attack, are able to send out chemical distress signals. Some of these signals summon wasp species, which are natural predators of the plant-damaging insect. This is an incredible sophistication. For instance, the same plant will send out one signal if being attacked by corn earworms, and another when attacked by tobacco budworms. The plants even sweeten the deal by producing nectar to feed the wasps, giving them an incentive to stay. God has a way of turning bad situations into good ones. When we think of crop devastation, we do not usually think of prosperity. For example, in Enterprise, Alabama, back in 1918, there is a beetle that feeds on cotton buds and flowers, which is called the boll weevil, and it caused a plague which destroyed the city's entire cotton crop. The city was forced to try new crops, such as peanuts, and the new crops brought abundant prosperity. The city was so appreciative that they made a monument in honor of the boll weevil. God turned this disaster into something good. Let's take a little side road and share a history lesson about a Christian scientist who made a huge impact. His influence is utilized to this day, and it was inspired by cotton. George Washington Carver was an incredible inventor and a strong man of God. He is most famous for the invention of peanut products and for teaching farmers the concept of crop rotation. Mariah Smith shares that Carver was born a slave, but he was adopted by the couple who ran the plantation. Certain colleges would not accept him since he was African American, so God guided him to Simpson College in Iowa. From there, he went to Iowa State University, and he obtained a Bachelor of Science and his master's degree in botany. After getting his master's degree, he returned to the South to teach and help the farmers there. The farmers at the time had a big problem. The main crop they produced was cotton, but planting cotton over the years had removed important nutrients from the soil. Mr. Carver taught the farmers how to use crop rotation, telling them that they should plant cotton one year and plants like soybeans, peanuts, or sweet potatoes the next. This helped the soil keep the nutrients it needed. Because the farmers were planting new crops, Carver invented hundreds of new uses for those crops. He discovered sweet potatoes could be used to make glue, vinegar, shoe polish, and many other things. While Mr. Carver was thinking up new uses for the peanut, he popularized the use of peanut butter. He found many other uses for the peanut, such as ink, shampoo, car fuel, peanut oil, shaving cream, and more. George Washington Carver was not interested in making money. He did not even patent most of his inventions because he wanted the glory to go to God, and because he believed that everyone should be able to use the products he developed. Carver once said, "The Lord has guided me. He has shown me the way, just as he will show everyone who turns to him." George Washington Carver is a shining example of a Christian scientist who changed the world for the better. Did you know that Carver kept a Bible by his desk and called his laboratory God's Little Workshop? Cotton. God clearly had us in mind when he designed this unique plant. I have read that cotton is a part of our daily lives from the time we dry our faces on a soft cotton towel in the morning until we slide between fresh cotton sheets at night. It has hundreds of uses, from blue jeans to shoestrings, from food sources to paper products. God provides for us in so many unique ways, and he gives us the ability to utilize his creation in many innovative methods. This is Diana signing off until we share another moment in creation.